Good afternoon, Tribe. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We've got plenty to get to. More on the Cavaliers. The streak is over, but hope is not. They've got the Pelicans game tonight as well. We just talked a little bit about Dan Gilbert trying to bring a WNBA team here to Cleveland. Me likey that. But you guys know it's hump day. It's 4 o'clock, and it's time. I don't want to try and make this the biggest thing ever, but we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross joins us now. Ross, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good. How do we feel,
Ross,
about...
Ross, we need a grade.
Yeah, we do.
Here.
Right, I need validation.
Yeah, I mean, I would say 9.5.
Oh, that cut him so bad.
Man, I was trying to clear the 9.5 bar.
That cut him so bad, Ross.
I could have gone for like a 9.6 and I would have been content, but 9.5 felt like I put a little extra English on that from last week, Ross.
Yeah, the problem is I was ready for it, so it didn't hit the same. You know what I mean? Like, and you tried to not, you tried not to overdo it. Like, you tried not to give the tell that you were about to do it, but I guess I just kind of knew it. I feel like you got to surprise me in mid-interview to have a better chance to really get over that hump, because I could just tell what was coming. And because I was ready for it, it's really hard to get a 10.
May your game day be delicious.
That was a sneak attack.
Huh.
9.9.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that right there. I was not. So that was, it's amazing how much of a difference that makes. Like, I was not expecting that. So it just hit a lot harder. It might have been the exact same thing, but it hit a lot harder.
I feel better now. We had Albert Breer on yesterday. He thinks, what he's hearing, rather, is that Jimmy Haslam's inclined to give everybody a mulligan for this season and maybe the DeSean experiment, including Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. Is that a sound tactic for Jimmy Haslam to take?
I would. I mean, that's what I would do. I think way, way too often, franchises make changes for change's sake when, you're not always going to have a good year. I mean, you can go back and look at some of the bad years that organizations have had. You know, the Steelers, Cowher had some down years. They stuck with him, ended up obviously having some great years and winning the Super Bowl. You go right down the line. I mean, Belichick, obviously, you guys know that in Cleveland. I think Kevin Stefanski, we know he won Coach of the Year 2 out of the last 4 years. I mean, everyone knows he's a good coach. So I guess you'd have to explain to me, if you fire him, who are you bringing in, and what's your level of confidence that actually helps the franchise moving forward? I think... And I kind of hope, I guess, I don't really care, but I kind of hope that Haslam is smart enough to realize he's got two really sharp guys that are good at what they do. And I think sometimes we make the mistake in pro sports that as soon as something doesn't go well, got to change them, got to fire them, kind of like the Jets do, right? Like, got to fire somebody. That hasn't really worked for a lot of people. It hasn't worked for the Jets, that's for sure. That would be like, can you imagine if after every day, Nick, where you don't have a great show, if people were calling in for you to be fired? I mean, it probably happened.
Yeah,
but
it definitely happened.
Can you imagine? Like, that would not be good. You don't have a great show every day. You know what I mean? Like, I think they would probably both go into next year very much on the hot seat. I think we all know the deal. They went all in for Deshaun Watson, and it backfired historically. So is them being that aggressive and making that bold a decision, whoever made it, whoever, whatever, is that a fireable offense and you move on? Or is it, man, that was a really, really big mistake, but people make mistakes at times. We still think the foundation and what we're doing overall is sound. Just unfortunately, that big bet did not pay off.
Yeah, Ross, I think the hard part for a lot of people, though, is you're like, well, who would be the person that replaces them isn't guaranteed to have a better outcome or a better result? And for a lot of fans listening right now, they're screaming at the radios being like, Ross, the answer is Mike Vrabel. He's a local kid done good. He's in the building right now. And Haslam is shown a willingness to spend to be able to get a guy like that to want to stay and want to be here.
I'm a huge Mike Vrabel fan. Huge Mike Vrabel fan. I guess what I would say to you is, and we were teammates in New England, I mean, there's also a reason why Mike just got fired in Tennessee, right? And that doesn't mean he should have been. I think he probably should not have been. I think he's an excellent head coach. But I think Vrabel will be a head coach somewhere. I think he deserves to be a head coach somewhere. But I also don't think that it's necessarily the right decision to fire Stefanski. I mean, how many times? I guess the question would be this: What does everybody think that Vrabel will do better than Stefanski?
Be a better leader. But I mean, meaning build a better
culture. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Build a better culture. Kevin has had 3 of 4 losing seasons the last 4 seasons, and in every losing season, culture has been a significant issue.
Got it. How do you think the culture was the last 2 years with the Titans?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was not good. I mean, they're firing GMs in the middle of the year. You know, they're trading A.J. Brown. You can say, oh, that's not Vrabel's fault or whatever, but they were 7-10, 6-11 the last couple of years. Didn't seem like the culture was very good there. I don't think there's very many teams with losing records that have good culture. I mean, I don't know. Like, did it not seem like the Browns' culture was fantastic last year when, even with the injuries to Chubb and Deshaun Watson, they still won all those games with Flacco and made the playoffs? I mean, that seemed like a really good and impressive culture to me a year ago. So did Stefanski this offseason, did he forget to take his culture pills?
No, I think
he forgot to take his culture pills, and now he doesn't. Like, I've done 2 Browns games this year. I think they do have a good culture. What about them says bad culture?
The miscommunications, throwing people under the bus. I would say some of the stuff that's starting to happen on social media.
What's the miscommunication? What's the
miscommunication on defense that continue to happen? And then everybody goes, yeah, hey, we miscommunicated. We'll do better next week.
And you think that's culture as opposed to...
I would say like when you're coaching, failing to do like rudimentary football things. Like, for instance, early in the season, it was like a bunch of pretty ridiculous penalties that were happening constantly. Like, I think when it's ticky-tack penalties from professional football players, when there's a bare minimum of standard not being met, I would imagine that's a sign of culture.
All right, I say fire everybody. Fire everybody and go back to being the Browns that every couple years just bring in new GM, new head coach. Go back to the cycle of failure. When you actually have guys, the only guys that have actually proven that they can do it with this iteration of the Browns. Because I saw with my own 2 eyes the Browns win the playoff game in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. I saw the Browns make the playoffs last year with a backup quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, good luck. Good luck. Go for it. Get rid of Coach of the Year, 2-time Coach of the Year, proven commodity, and go get someone else.
He has one playoff.
And we'll see what
happens. He has one playoff win in 5 years.
How many did they have in the 20 years before that? I can't remember.
But I think that's the problem. I think you're grading him against like Brown's previous history instead of grading. Like, they walked into a very talented team with a quarterback, with a team, and they were able to go 11-5 that first year. You're right, and they got the playoff win. The problem is, 3 out of the 4 years, it's been 7-10, 8-9, and they haven't had consecutive winning seasons since 1988, 1989. So, like, they walked in with a roster that everybody thought was going to contend, and the closest they got was contending for the playoffs, and then they also traded for Deshaun Watson. Like, I think there's a lot there, is all I'm saying.
I think the Deshaun Watson decision has been an absolute disaster, one of the worst in NFL history, and probably will be the reason why those guys get fired after next year. But I've seen enough from them that I would at least give them next year. In particular, what I saw in 2023 was super impressive. And so just because you have a bad year the next year doesn't mean I cut the cord. They went all in with Watson. It didn't work. I would give them next year to see if they can do it. Go ahead and pull the cord now. And, you know, there's a pretty good chance that we'll be talking, you know, whatever it is, in a couple years about them firing a new GM, firing a new coach and looking for a new one. This is, I mean, what you want to do is what fans usually knee-jerk reaction is. I go on radio stations all across the country, and you and a lot of the fans listening right now are actually a major reason why teams do make changes as often as they do, because they feel a need to appease the media or appease the fans who just want blood, who just want some type of change, something different to happen. And so, you know, like the Jets did this year. And I don't really think there's very many industries where people would do that, where people would think that's, you know, businesses have a bad year and the Browns are having a bad year. But that doesn't mean that the people in charge of the business are people that you need to move on from just because they're having a down year, especially, you know, in this business.
I guess, Ross, the question I would have is then at what point, like how long do you give Stefanski? Because if we're both in agreement that next year's draft class probably isn't it, and they're probably not going to draft a quarterback, and maybe I'm making an assumption there that you don't agree with, but like next year is going to be a bridge quarterback. That's not, if we're giving him a mulligan for the Deshaun Watson time, it's not like next year is setting him up for a bunch of success to really, you know, blow our socks off either.
Well, how do you know that unless you give him a chance? I mean, was it set up for success last year when they had, what was it, 5 or 6 different starting quarterbacks? Of course not. Last year wasn't set up for success. I don't even know if I would say, you know, the year when they won the playoff game, I don't know if you could say before that year, nobody, not a single person before that year was saying they were set up for success, which is, by the way, why Kevin Stefanski was the coach of the year. You don't get coach of the year if before the year you're set up for success. You get coach of the year if everybody, including the people that make the odds on season win totals, everybody thinks you're going to be bad, and instead you're good. Like they were, whatever the year that was, and like they 21, and like they were last year. That is how you are, that's how you win coach of the year. So I understand the thought process that you don't think right now they're set up for success, which, by the way, is that a good time to bring in another coach when you're not set up in any way for success? That's a good time to bring in a new coach? I don't really agree with that. I would like to see those guys battle through it, and I'd like to see what they do next year. It seemed pretty clear the last time I heard Andrew Berry speak that Deshaun Watson's not going to be the quarterback. So I'd like to see who they get at quarterback. So what they did this year is they brought in a new offensive coordinator. I tend to highly doubt that was Kevin Stefanski's decision, but these are the things we don't know, right? None of us ever really know owner involvement. which is one of the flaws in the entire conversation that we have. Somebody made the decision to move on from Van Pelt to bring in Ken Dorsey to run an offense that isn't Kevin Stefanski's offense, because supposedly Ken Dorsey, who just got fired in Buffalo and they were much better after him, supposedly Ken Dorsey is better, was going to run a better offense for Deshaun Watson. That didn't really happen. So instead, Watson's hurt, he's done. And so right when it would be perfect time to run Kevin Stefanski's offense with Jameis Winston, and the entire reason why Jameis Winston came to Cleveland to run Stefanski's offense, then you switch play caller to Ken Dorsey. I guess that what I would say is, at some point, it seems like the problem might be bigger than just whoever the head coach is, whoever the GM is. Like, I would love if we could actually find out who's making some of the decisions that are being made, because some of them don't make sense at all. Objectively don't make sense. And, you know, in the production meetings or whatever, we asked Stefanski and he always says it's his decision and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I really believe that. I think he's doing what he has to do as a head coach. But some of the decisions, like when Watson was hurt, for them to switch play callers in Jameis Winston's first start was asinine. Now, in fairness, I called the game. They beat the Ravens. It was awesome for them. It was great. It worked. But that never made any sense to me whatsoever. Jameis had even said to us he didn't really understand it, and he had a lot of questions Monday and Tuesday about, wait a minute, why are we switching to Dorsey right now? So maybe rather than always just saying fire the coach, fire the GM, maybe the conversation should be, what's the overall structure here? And maybe we can dig a little bit deeper and try to use logic. And I'm not saying you two guys, I'm just saying in general, use logic and try to figure out who's actually running the show here and who's making some of these calls, because some of them sure as heck don't make sense.
I'm just glad the Bears never fired Matt Nagy, because he won Coach of the Year, and that means something, damn it.
Would have been a really good time for you to do the Mayo Game Day Be Delicious.
I was not going to do it to him.
It was like a big impassioned thing.
Ross, appreciate you, buddy. Have a lovely week.
Hey, how have the Bears been since they fired Nagy? I can't remember.
How have the Saints been since they fired Jim Haslett? Oh, wait, what about the Giants with Jim Fossil?
I just don't remember. Did Nagy make the playoffs two out of his 3 years?
Two out of three. We're 5 years now, Ross. And by the way, they're going to go 2-15 this year. Did Matt Nagy ever go 2-15? I honestly can't remember.
At this point, that'd probably be better, wouldn't it?
So now you're selling this as an accomplishment by Kevin Stefanski?
No, I'm saying, would you rather go 4-13 at this point or 2-15?
I would rather not go 2-15 because you have to be laughably bad. You have to try to suck to go 2-15.
Okay, well, I would bet some of your callers, and maybe even some of the callers that are smarter than you, would probably be happy if they went 2-15 at this point.
I don't think anyone's going to be happy at 2-15. Appreciate you, buddy.
See ya.
Kevin Stefanski, apologist, Ross Tucker there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
He was so mad at you, he didn't even hit you with a later, dude.
That was honestly the NFL Insider. Ross Tucker, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. I'm not going to give it to him now. We'll react to what Ross had to say next on 92.3 The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!